This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today? On a Monday, it's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you guys are doing well. We're coming to you live from the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios right here off McFarland Boulevard in Northport. Just past the Tiger Rock, past the Rustic Rehab. You can find Derek Daniel and the studio right there. Oh, you have to Mark McFarland, go up a little further. We're just there on the left. Call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391. For all your insurance needs. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're coming to you live just a few hours later than our normal show. We appreciate everybody who is bearing with us and still watching us live. We see you up in the corner. I appreciate you so, so much. You can leave us a comment, a question, a query, or a complaint on the Facebook machine, on the Twitters, wherever you can get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Or, of course, we love you best on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. We are so, so, so close, Hunter Brantley, for having the best month ever on the Podcast Center for downloads. It's the last day of the month. We need a decent, not a great day, not a good day. We just need a decent day on the downloads, and we will have the best month ever.
Let's crush it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited.
Let's finish the month off on a strong note. Woo! How about it?
Yeah, you hear that dulcet voice, beautiful voice. You see his
smash the like button, subscribe, whole nine yards, everything.
Is that all of it? Beautiful face. Hunter Brantley is joining us today. We kicked Theo out of here. Theo said, too much Slender talk, so we kicked him out of here. We're joined this Monday by Hunter Brantley. Not enough giant slander.
Don't worry. I give him hell about the Yankees all the time. So
the Yankees win.
Lose.
They haven't been winning very much this year, have they?
They have not. Well, they've been winning a lot this year, but lately not so much.
Yeah, haven't really kept up with the baseball standings. You can give us a Braves update here in a bit. Derek would actually love a Braves update because, you know, Derek Daniel is a huge Atlanta Braves fan, and I know it's kind of a tough time.
Lean times right now. Outside of Ronald Acuna.
Injury still? Not pitching not good?
Pitching's the same, kind of mid. A lot of guys on the IL. Chris Sale fractured his ribs, who was our ace. Spencer Strider still sitting 96, 97, which he was throwing 100 before he got hurt last year. Schwellenbach's been really good, but other than that, Bryce Elder just gets owned, just gets rocked every time he steps out on the field, every time he takes the mound. I feel like I'm watching batting practice at the home run derby when he pitches. But, I mean, other than that, other than Ronald Acuna Jr., not a lot to cheer for and get excited about.
I'm going over to the Battery start of August. I've never been there. My dad says, hey, you want to go to a baseball game with me? And I said, yeah, Dad, I would love to go to a baseball game with you. So we're going to go to first week of August before football season really gets going. So I think they're playing the Brewers. Really, I'm just going to spend time with the dad, be outside and, you know, have a beer and a hot dog and enjoy the atmosphere.
You should do the 9 beers, 9 hot dog challenge. And whole 9 innings.
I think I could have at 22, at 23. At my current age, Hunter, I think that I would end up in a coma. I think that would hurt me so badly.
9 beers and 9 hot dogs.
If I was able to complete it, if I were able to complete it, which I think can probably, 10% chance that I could complete it? 10, 15% chance that I could complete it?
You might be needing help getting to the court.
Exactly.
When the game's over.
And RIP whatever bathroom I end up in. Horrible.
I feel bad for the custodian that's got to clean up the vomit.
Terrible.
Left behind.
So follow Hunter Brantley at Hunter Brantley 8. You see him at WVUA. He's working right there for Gary Harris. He was with me at 100.9, and he covers and follows all things Alabama sports. We'll make some time for you to talk more Braves here before we get out of here. But what we're going to do today is, of course, invite you guys in on the comment section and, of course, invite you guys in on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. But we've actually got a bevy of topics to get into today, Hunter. Center. We got two recruits to look at. We got two recruits to look at. We got two trades to talk about, and we've got somebody talking trash. So you're the guest. You're my friend. What do you want to start with? You want to start with the recruits? You want to start with one of the two trades? Or do you want to start with the trash talk as it involves Alabama football?
Honestly, I wouldn't mind talking about the recruits. I heard from a lot of people in the Auburn camp that Hugh Freeze was going to make Kalen DeBoer's head spin on the recruiting trail. And I mean, I'm just dizzy with all the five stars we're getting out of rolling in. I mean, I am out of my mind. And I'm confused. All of it.
Hugh Freeze needs to get off the golf course and get recruiting before anybody's head's going to be spinning.
Yeah, he does, for sure, before he's out of there.
But yeah, Alabama, huge. Another huge weekend. We get off the air on Friday, and I must admit, we did not put a short video out about Zay Hall because I was staring at the back of my eyelids almost all afternoon, Friday afternoon, enjoying the rain. And then I wake up and, oh, Alabama's got a recruit. And I look at my messages, and Mason's asking me, hey, you want to talk about I missed all of it. So let's start with the local man, Zay Hall, because I would love to get Zay Hall on the program as well. And speaking of recruits on the program, we've got a verbal agreement to get Ryel Kelly on the show tomorrow. Cannot wait for that. We'll hear from the safety, 6'8". 7'3". Okay, he's really 6'3" listed, but he looks so long. I can't wait to catch up with Ryel Kelly in the morning. Join us tomorrow about 8:45 Central Time if you're watching for it live. But look for it on all the platforms tomorrow. We'll be joined by Ryel Kelly, Alabama's newest safety. Let's get into Zay Hall though. Zay Hall, local guy, comes in from Tuscaloosa, Hillcrest High School, and we love Hillcrest High School. He's listed on his Huddle Machine at 6'3", 205, listed as a linebacker and a safety. And so, Hunter, I'll just get out of the way as I look at his film and let you just kind of talk about what you see in Zay Hall.
When I look at Zay Hall, I was able to see him a lot last year. They played Florence, I believe, first game of the year. And he honestly kind of popped off. I was like, who's this? Who is this? Who's this Zay Hall guy? He made an impact right away. He was always getting to the quarterback. And he's very versatile as well. He can play, like you said, safety. Not highly ranked right now on 24/7 Sports, which I'm kind of surprised about. He's only 117th best linebacker in the country. He's got to be at least top 50, in my opinion, if not closer to 20, 25. But, I mean, I like what I see from Zay Hall, and I like what I saw from him last year and everything, but just very flying under the radar. Extreme confidence in this guy coming into senior year. And I think that he will take a big leap into the rankings next year by the time that he graduates, and I think he can be an impact player for Alabama.
Okay, so Zay Hall actually played at Bryant last year.
Yeah, he played at
Bryant.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, he played at Bryant. My fault. He played at Bryant last year, and then transferred over to Hillcrest.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what my confusion was. I'm looking at these highlights, and I'm like, this is not Hillcrest's uniform. This looks like Bryant to me. Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking over. Okay, he played at Paul Bryant High School. And, all right, so all these clips, athlete. And, look, I love all the local schools, but Bryant, not necessarily.
Got to play with Christian Jones. to learn about Alabama.
Bryant, not necessarily the premier program in the area. And yeah, he's all over the place for them, which is, I mean, if you're playing for a team that's not as highly rated, you want to be standing out on film. And he is right here, a big old athlete. Big ass. I mean, 6'3", 205, getting after it. You're looking at a stinger. You're looking at, you know, you're looking at an inside linebacker that can fit into the Kane Womack system. And look, you want to get guys who are local, who are talents. If they're fit, I'm gonna trust that Christian Jones kind of facilitated some of this. He's transferred now.
Got a little help for us. Yeah. Some recruiting.
He's transferred now to Hillcrest, so I'm about to put on these spring game highlights. But Zay Hall becomes, what is he now, your third, fourth linebacker in the class? Looks like your first real off-ball linebacker. I know Xavier Griffin can do that and will do that a bit, but I think Xavier Griffin is going to be much more of an edge rusher. When he gets to Tuscaloosa, let's see, is he the first real off-ball? I mean, Xavier Griffin, edge, okay, Zion Gibson, Max Teller, I just want to make sure I'm right here. Jamarian Matthews, yep, edge as well. Yeah, so he's really your first real off-ball linebacker because I don't know if Zay Hall is going to be playing a whole lot on the edge here. And he can do a little – he's listed as a safety as well. Okay. We love getting local talent. I mean, tracking the ball pretty nicely out of the off the ball, maneuvering offensive linemen pretty nicely as well. Three-star recruit.
Ranked 117th.
Who cares?
At his position, but I mean,
is his film as impressive as some of the other three stars we've looked at? I'll say no. I'll be honest with you. I'll say no. But look, you still have another year's worth of growth to do, sir. Both on
you're
the football
playing at Hillcrest
field.
As opposed to Bryant now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Hillcrest is a football factory right here in Tuscaloosa.
Produce some great players.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Robinson, for example.
Jacquez Jones over at Kentucky and Ole Miss.
Ethan Crawford was really good.
Ooh, I loved me some Ethan Crawford. Hope that is he still with Southern Miss?
I think he is, yeah. I believe so.
Man, and I'll tell you this. If you can play football at Bryant, looking at that film, if you can play football on that field, you can play football anywhere. That field.
Anywhere you want, man.
Not so nice over at Bryant. That environment. You're stepping in a lot of holes.
Just a lot of ant beds. I'm sure he made a lot of tackles and got up and he's got brushing ants off of him.
All right, so let's look at him right here. His spring game highlights right here at Hillcrest. He's right there in the middle for him. So he's transferred and he's going to take over. It looks like this right there here in the middle. And they moved up to 7A. They're not in 6A anymore, Hillcrest.
Yeah,
they moved up to 7A. So they're playing the highest level of football in Alabama. I bet you he does move up in the rankings just based on
he's
the competition.
There's no way he drops going from Bryant to Hillcrest playing with better coaching, better players. Better people around him. Probably better support system.
Yep, tracking the ball pretty nicely.
A team that cares about winning.
Oh, I like this. Okay, he's been beaten on this spring game. He's been beaten, but no, turns, and hustles to save a tackle. We love that. Absolutely. You're made of the right stuff here. Yeah. You've got size. It maybe needs a little more experience. Maybe needs a little more polish. But you've got the right size, and it looks like, I mean, you could see the heart on film, fighting through blocks, and you know, fighting and making sure the play is not over until it's actually over. This is a guy that I like. Zay Jones joins the recruiting class.
Zay Hall.
Oh, I keep saying that. Zay Jones is a wide receiver
for the Ravens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I keep doing that. Zay Hall. Welcome to the Alabama Crimson Tide recruiting class.
Welcome to the family, bro.
Absolutely. You ready to, all right, move into the crown jewel, though? Xavier
the blue
Griffin.
Chip.
Goodness gracious.
I watched this guy last night. Good Lord. The versatility on this dude is insane. Can move, play any position you want him to. Come off the edge. Can play Mike. Play Sting. Put him at Bandit with Quay Rousseau. Wherever you want him to be.
Huddle always puts the volume on. Yes, looks like a player that really Kane Womack's going to have a lot of fun with. Ranked as one of the top players in the state of Georgia. If you look on 24/7, he's rated as the top player in the state of Georgia. He's rated as the top linebacker in the class. Number 8 overall player in the entire class. 6'3", 200 pounds on 24/7. I think he's probably closer to 205, 210. You look at his huddle, it says 6'4", 212. So it's somewhere in between those. The truth always lies somewhere in the middle there with heights and weights. But this guy, off the ball, on the ball, on the edge. You know, I fell in love with Kamari Brooks. He doesn't have as much violence in his hands as Kamari Brooks does, but he's fast. He is. I think he's probably
very
faster.
Fast.
I think he's faster than Kamari. I think the edge, the bend around the edge is really, really at an elite level here. I'm seeing him watching play against Carrollton, watching play against Juju Lewis. And he just is killing people with his speed, getting out to the edge, coming around the edge here and crushing a
quarterback.
He's so
quick around the edge. Like, that's definitely got to be his best trait, I feel like.
Yes.
His best skill set's coming off the edge, and I feel like that's where Kane Womack's going to play him, is at that bandit position. Reminds me a lot of Chase Young when he was at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. A lot of quickness. Not a lot of power, but just very quick off the ball. And get to the quarterback, get a lot of tackles for loss, a lot of sacks. So I'm excited about him, for sure.
In a room where the Wolf room is very, very interesting. Because you got Quay Rousseau, who I think if he has a good year, could be gone. And then you're looking at a humongous turnover, a humongous turnover in the Wolf room, with what Justin Hill looks like. You're looks like one of the next ones up. Yanzi Pierre is right there in that room as well. I
maybe
like Yanzi.
Maybe Keon Keeley.
No.
Or is he going to stay a Bandit?
I think he's going to stay a Bandit.
Stay a Bandit.
Let me just make sure I'm not missing anybody here, because all my brain is going in 10 different directions. But before I say this, because I don't want to say this without missing somebody obvious position. Oh, DB. Yep. We want to get down to LB. Linebacker. Yeah. Quay Russo, I think if he has a good year, might be gone. Okay. Justin Hill is kind of next up in that room, along with Noah Carter is in that room as well. Noah Carter. And Yanzi Pierre, yep, we mentioned him. All right, there we go. Yeah, so you've got a big, big void right there in the Wolf room.
Jamarian Latham this year, but he'll graduate.
Yeah, he'll be
so
gone.
So he won't.
So we're projecting up to 2026.
He's not even going to be a factor.
Xavier Griffin going to get a heavy rotation, heavy playing time as a freshman. That's kind of what I was leaning towards saying, because I think that you see it on tape, a lot of skills on pass rushing downs. You remember how Dallas Turner would get subbed in his freshman year on pass rushing downs.
Same thing with Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a certain defensive coordinator wanted to drop him in coverage sometimes, which I was banging my head about on the wall multiple times when that happened, for obvious reasons.
He's still going to get a whole another year to gain some more muscle, to gain some more thickness. But I think Xavier Griffin could be an immediate impact player as a rotational pass rusher in 2026.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think his best, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. I think his best, I guess, trait is playing off the edge, playing in that Wolf position. The only thing is, it's also a deep Wolf room. So do you play him at Sting? Do you play him at Mike? Do you move him around? Because I bet that's what Josh Niblett does. Obviously, you watch the tape. I just saw it last night. And he's moving around a lot. He's at Mike. He's at Sting. I don't know what they play. I'm sure they play like a 3-4 over there at Gainesville High School. But, I mean, the versatility, I think, needs to be utilized as well. Don't just let him play Wolf, move him around at Mike, let him play Sting. And I feel like you can utilize him to the best of his ability. He's more versatile like that.
Flying through the gap from the Mike position and just destroying a running back. Yikes!
Shades of Reuben Foster.
Yes! This is a real get. This is a real get. And the Alabama recruiting momentum is just building, building, building. What do you think? Just a small tidbit while I watch this tape. You see the Georgia G right here on his helmet. He said, I'm sick of wearing that. Georgia didn't even finish second, apparently, for him.
It was Ohio State.
Ohio
Florida
State and Texas were kind of right there. Yeah. Florida State as well.
He's a Georgia guy, too. He's from Gainesville.
I think he's from somewhere in 256 Mobile, right? Gotcha. I think he's somewhere originally from the Mobile area.
And then moved to Gainesville, mm-hmm, Georgia.
Yes, I think that's what I've been reading about him. And so we'll hope to get Xavier Griffin on the program as well. Let's look at what it means, though, Hunter, for the entire recruiting class. Alabama now on 24/7 is up to number 8. Last week,
Climbing the ranks, man.
Was 42, 44, 45, and people were still going, what are we going to do? Oh, no.
We don't have any recruits. Oh, no. The sky is falling.
Coach DeBoer can't recruit the South. We did this last week with Mason, so I'll have you do it real quick to make the point again. I'll read the cities and states you count. Because, you know, everybody's version, everybody's vision of the South is a little different. Is Texas the South? Is Virginia the South? You know, whatever. Is Kentucky the South? Everybody's version of the South is a little different.
Different opinions.
You can decide for yourself, Hunter, how many of these states qualify as the South, and we can decide how many of these 14 recruits are in the, the quote-unquote the South. All right, so starting from the top, Xavier Griffin, Gainesville, Georgia, Marietta, Georgia for Jordan Edmonds, you got Gadsden, Alabama for Zion Gibson, Max Sutter, Dunlap, Illinois, Xavier Crowell, Jackson, Alabama, Sam Utu, Orange, California, Jamarian Matthews, Gainesville, Georgia, Jet Tamala, Omaha, Nebraska, Chris Booker, Atlanta, Georgia, Kamarian Johnson, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, J.J. Finch, Indianapolis, Indiana, Ryle Kelly, Cincinnati, Ohio, Zay Hall, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Javari Burnett, Tampa, Florida. So out of 14, how many did you count?
I got 9 on my hand.
9?
Ryle Kelly from Ohio, Finch from Indiana, Stutter from Illinois, and then Sam
Sam Utu,
California.
And, of course, Jet Tamala, Nebraska. So 64% of the class is from, quote, unquote, the South. And how many did we just read from Alabama? One, two, three,
four.
From Alabama. So all this, he can't recruit the South.
Narrative kind of, put to bed right there in 1 year. Not that it was even a narrative to begin with. It seemed just like pie in the sky. Let's just throw something on the wall and hope it sticks like they typically do. And then
it's ridiculous.
He shuts everybody up like he always does.
It's ridiculous. It shows an extreme lack of understanding of the recruiting game. He comes last January, late January, early February, and he's got all these relationships already built with players in the West Coast because he's been working on the West Coast.
At the University of Washington.
Right. And so, okay, yeah, we're just going to, hey, man, we got to put together a class right now that can come in here.
Yeah, we just got to throw something together, piece it up piece by piece. Right. Let's just get what we can get.
Of the people that we know and we already like and we think they can already play football. So, of course, we're going to leverage Dejon Lee and we're going to leverage Caleb Edwards. We're going to leverage these types and say, hey, man, I know we were recruiting you to Washington, but now we've come to bigger, badder, better Alabama, and we're going to bring a recruiting class together. And, yeah, it may not look like it's full of Alabama kids and Georgia kids and Tennessee kids, but it is what it is. We still got AK Deer right out of Mississippi, who's a premier running back. You just have to make it work in your first year. And now that the cycle is 2026 and you were able to, hey, we're here in January, we need to go ahead and get started on the class of 2026. You make new relationships. You make new relationships with the, oh, Xavier Griffin, five-star linebacker. He's pretty good. Let's go meet his high school coach. Let's go meet his, you know, family, this, that, and the other. Oh, Xavier Crowell down there in Jackson. Let's go meet the Jackson coach. Let's go meet that community and spend a year down there. And after you spend a year, oh, what's the results? The fruit
recruiting
is,
comes easy, easier and easier and easier. It's almost like if you talk to people and you actually get out and recruit in the South, in the area that we're talking about right now, it's almost like you can get recruits when you do that. I mean, it's not like he was a bad recruiter, and it's got to be one of the hardest things to do to be a bad recruiter at the University of Alabama. 18 national championships, Hall of Famers, coaches, first team All-Americans, NFL draft picks galore, list goes on and on and on. So the fact that if he couldn't recruit, that's more impressive to not be able to recruit at the University of Alabama than being able to recruit. Like, anybody can come in here and recruit at Alabama. I mean, my goodness, you got Nick Saban helping you out a little bit. But that's another thing I want to get to, is there's a lot of people saying, oh, Nick Saban helped you. Nick Saban helped you out a little
bit. Go ahead.
He helped you out a little bit. Do people realize that he retired? Last time I checked, he retired last year, and Kalen DeBoer's the coach, and he determines who plays, how they developed, how many snaps they get, how they perform. And it's not really that much on Nick Saban anymore at all. Yes, he is there. Yes, he's still in the facility, but at the same time, he's not on the field. He's not at practice. He's not developing these guys anymore. It's Kalen DeBoer. You are committing to Coach Kalen DeBoer, and you're not committing to Nick Saban. So, yeah, he might have been there a couple weeks ago when he was at Keelan's sister's funeral. But, I mean, God bless the Russell family. You have to be there for him. You have to support him. And I like that he did that. And Nick Saban stepped in and did a great job, I'm sure, because he does great at everything that he does, it seems like. But then you got people saying, like, the only reason why you got Xavier Crowell and all these guys is because Nick Saban was there. And he met them, and they were able to talk, and yada, yada, yada. Like, I mean, sure, yeah, they talked, but he's not coaching Alabama anymore. He's retired, and Kalen DeBoer is the coach, and he's going to develop these kids, and he's going to make sure that they play and that they are developed to the way that he wants them to be.
Right. It's like sometimes the old teacher comes back to the school.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't teach there. He doesn't work there anymore. But when he walks through the halls, it's like, oh, Professor Billy's back. Oh, great. Let's all, everybody go shake hands with Professor Billy. And your star students go talk to him. It's like, oh, I wish I could have taken your class. And, well, you've got good teachers now. Like, it's ridiculous to assume or to think that Nick Saban's hands and feet are really, really deep in it. I think that he was really
kind of like a placeholder.
We got to get out of here for the weekend. Yeah. We have something more important than football. Can you help us out this weekend? Oh, sure. I can walk you through the facility and talk about the tradition and, you know, let everybody know that Tuscaloosa is still Tuscaloosa and we're the best place to go get a meal and in town is.
Best place to shop, probably. Right. Just the little specific nuances of Tuscaloosa and how the university is, because he's been there for like 20 years now.
So my question to you, Hunter, is about Brian Harsin, because this is the whole narrative. He's not going to be able to recruit the South of Kalen DeBoer. I think is born out of Brian Harsin's inability to recruit at Auburn. I think it's born out of, well, Brian Harsin did a bad job, and he came from Boise State. Of course, that it's really hard. It's really hard to recruit the South. Of course, you got it. You know how sometimes you get the God bless you from in the South, where they don't really mean God bless you, right? Oh, bless your soul, you know, bless your heart, and they don't really mean that. Sometimes you get a little bit of that, but like if you're a nice person, if you are genuine, if you're getting like Brian Harsin. Bit stuck up, a bit stuck in his own ways. Didn't play the whole game at Auburn. Didn't do the whole booster game at Auburn. Didn't
get along with the higher ups, right. The powers that be.
And I'm not even trying to like say anything that bad about Brian, but it wasn't a personality fit, right? I think this whole he's gonna be Husky Harsin. I think it's born out of Brian Harsin not being a personality fit at Auburn, more than knowing Kalen DeBoer. And I think we're going to paint with this broad brush because Brian Harsin wasn't able to do it. Nobody can do it. And maybe I think that's a bit of copium from the Auburn side of things and from people who are maybe hoping that Kalen DeBoer would come in and fall on his face.
I feel like, yeah, there is truth to that. I'm sure Brian Harsin wasn't the most hospitable guy. It didn't seem like it to me. But I think at the end of the day, whether you're hospitable or not, winning fixes or breaks everything. If you can win, people are going to come play for you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if your school's in freaking Alaska. If you're winning and you're getting guys to the NFL and you're getting guys paid and they're having success post-college, then people are going to come play for you, and you're winning championships on top of that. And last time I checked, Auburn's not winning championships. They're barely having winning seasons to begin with, not putting a lot of guys in the NFL. And I'm sure a lot of guys aren't making that much money once they graduate, even if they are playing football. I'm sure, you know, they're not making the amount of money that Tua's making. Let's see, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Julio Maid, Mark Ingram, list goes on and on and on. So if you're not getting guys in the NFL and if you're not having a successful program, no one's going to come play for you. It doesn't. I think personality, yeah, that is a problem. But if you're winning, I think that solves a lot of problems, in my opinion.
So you think it's more about Rome Odunze and Michael Penix being first-round draft picks at Washington gives everybody, let's welcome him in. Let's welcome let's welcome Kalen DeBoer into our high school. We've seen him do it already.
I feel like it helps a lot, yeah. I feel like you should put on the tape and say, hey, man, hey, Sadarian Morgan, hey, you want to be like this? You want to go play for the Bears? You want to go be a first-round draft pick? Yeah, coach, I would like that. You want to make a lot of money in the NFL one day like Rome will? Yeah, I'd like that. Like, all right, come on down. I can get you there. I promise.
So Alabama
put you in a way better spot than Hugh Freeze could at Auburn. I feel like they hadn't had a receiver drafted. Well, they had Keandre Lambert Smith, Seth Williams, but other than that, I can't really name anybody that's had a successful NFL career. Darius Slayton, but he wasn't under Freeze.
Yeah, we'll see what.
But then you got Devontae Smith, Judy, Waddle.
I think Auburn's going to be in for another hard year. Another hard year on the plains.
I think so, too. I think 7-5, 8-4 Oof. At best is the ceiling with a 6-6, 5-7-4. Probably looking at that 6-6 more likely.
That'll get you fired if they can afford it.
Yeah, it will. They might start a rumor. Who knows? If he doesn't start recruiting better, they might start a rumor that he's hanging out with assistants outside of the facility and whatnot like they did with Harsin. Watch out now.
I don't know if they're going to have to start a rumor or just check his golf app and see how much he's playing. All right, so two big recruits coming in for Alabama over the weekend. Zay Hall, not Zay Jones, Zay Hall and Xavier Griffin, two linebackers added to the class. Alabama now up to 14 total commits and up into the top 10 on 24/7 Sports with several other five stars on the hook. We'll see when Sadarian Morgan. We'll see about Jaira Edwards.
July 2nd. Got it circled on my calendar.
Oh, we cannot wait. Sadarian Morgan, Jaira Edwards is the fifth, I think, as well. Tank Jones is coming soon. So you bring in three more. Ooh, They're going to be weeping all across college football as Kalen DeBoer just builds his first true recruiting class here in Tuscaloosa. Now, I mean, I think last year's class was definitely his class, but you get a full cycle to really develop some of these relationships, build some of these relationships, scout the entirety of who you're looking for, and I'm really excited to see how this 2026 class lands. Join us tomorrow morning about 8:45. We'll be joined by Ryo Kelly, Alabama's safety committed last week right out of Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll try to get his scoop on Justin Hill as well. Excuse me. Oh, man. Coffee getting to me just a little bit this morning. We'll get his take on Justin Hill as they were teammates last season, and we'll really get to know Ryo Kelly tomorrow morning at 8:45.
I do have one question for you.
Please.
We played this game before with Ty Simpson. Is he going to beat Mac Jones or is he going to beat Blake Barnett? If you had to call it right now, I know it's early. I know he hadn't even played his senior year of high school yet. But Xavier Griffin, do you think he could be more like Will Anderson if they keep him at a Wolf? Or do you think he'll be something like Keon Keeley? Where it takes some time, might not play a lot, takes more time to develop.
Yeah, I mean, the Will Anderson bar is so high, so it's like, how can you even say that? But if you're playing between the two, then I am going to take the Will Anderson track because I do think he's going to get playing time his freshman year. I think the position room opens up in a way that allows that to happen, and I think his skill set is good enough to get him on the field in pass rushing downs. I think I'm really hopeful that he puts on another 10-15 pounds over the course of this senior year, and then he can early enroll in early January and get into the Alabama weight program, put on another 5 to 7 pounds. So he'll be playing at about 218, 220. And we can get him in on the field on pass rushing downs. I think, yeah, Will Anderson bar way too high.
Way too high.
But I got to go
on
that.
7 sacks his freshman year.
Yeah, I got to go on
crazy.
That track.
11 tackles for loss. But I definitely could see him playing his freshman year.
Yeah,
probably not getting 7 sacks or making that big of an impact. But
didn't Dallas had 7 or 8 as well? His first year, Dallas Turner had 7 or 8.
Yeah, I
really see him more similar to Dallas
or
than
Chris Braswell, maybe.
Yeah, I see him probably of the three being the most similar to Dallas Turner. Explosive athlete, quick off the edge. That's kind of who I see him.
Yeah, 8.5 his freshman year.
Right. And he didn't play full time. It was kind of, hey, it's third down. Go get him, buddy. And I think that's really what Xavier Griffin's going to be doing.
Put your hand in the dirt and best of luck. Say your prayers for the offensive tackle that you're going up against because he'll need it.
Exactly. Go put your best pass rushing moves on him. I see Xavier Griffin a lot more similar to Dallas Turner right now. All right, so let's shift gears away from recruiting. You want to go into these two trades, or do you want to go into Jaheim Otis discussion?
Let's get to the trades.
Let's get to
save Jaheim for last.
Absolutely. Okay, so shifting gears completely out of football into basketball. Are you going to be cheering for the Charlotte Hornets this season?
I'm going to every game. What you mean? Every single game. I might move to Charlotte.
Oh, my God.
Panthers on Sunday, and then the Hornets in the middle of the week on a Tuesday, Thursday night. Double up on it.
They've been horrible like my entire life.
They have been. And now that Jordan sold the team to, I forget the people's name. Let's see.
They've been horrible my whole life. 19-63 last year. But they
do have new ownership. It's Gabe Plotkin and Rick Chenal.
If you're an Alabama basketball fan, if you care about the Alabama Crimson Tide basketball program, the Charlotte Hornets just became your new favorite team as Colin Sexton was traded from the Utah Jazz for Yusuf Nurkic from the Utah Jazz to the Charlotte Hornets. And so now you're going to have Brandon Miller and Colin Sexton on the same team, which is very, I think that's interesting because you've got really the two premier recruits, the two premier players from the Crimson Tide program over the last decade.
15 years, yeah, easy. Yeah.
I know we all love Herb Jones, and Herb was great here, but he was not a premier recruit. Herb developed during his time in Tuscaloosa. You got the two one-and-dones.
Mark Sears obviously was a diamond in the rough in the transfer portal.
Yeah,
Muscle Shoals,
totally different category.
Ohio, yeah.
Those two guys, Herb and Mark, developed during their time in college. Colin and Brandon were here one and done and said, we're going to make some money, and did. both as first-round draft picks, both as lottery picks. And look, Collins' career has been
a little bit less than desired for him,
I'm thinking.
I mean, yes. Because you know he wants to win.
He's been a good player, but he's just been on so many dog poo teams. Just horrible teams. He was with the Cavs first as
after LeBron left too. So they went back to rebuild. Yeah.
Awful.
And then new superstar on the block after LeBron hit the road to LA.
And with the Jazz, was there somebody in between? I think it wasn't. I think that was just Cavs to the Jazz.
But they were the worst team in the league, arguably, last year. And so were the Cavs when he was there. I don't think they've ever made the playoffs. I don't think he's appeared in a playoff game one time in his career. And he's been there for 7 or 8 years in the league, I want to say.
Yeah, let's pull up his, basketball pro reference. Yeah, sports reference. That's what I want. No, I don't want college. We want the pro reference version. Oh, goodness gracious. That's what I want, basketball reference. Okay, so over the course, he's played 407 basketball games in the NBA. He's averaging 18.8 points per game, almost 4 rebounds.
Almost 4 assists. Not bad stats at all.
No.
Not bad at all. And he got better shooting the 3, too, last year.
Yeah, 3-point percentage.
Last he shot in his career at 40%.
40%.
That'll do.
So, will this make you turn on the awful, awful, awful Charlotte Hornets?
Yes, 100%. Ugh. Just because of the firepower between Brandon Miller and Colin Sexton.
You also have LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges. You have the other Curry, Seth Curry.
Con Knipponell.
Yeah.
From Duke. And bad.
Didn't they also draft
Kalkbrenner from Creighton?
Did they?
They did, yeah. That's their Jokic.
Liam McNeely, that's who I was thinking. Liam McNeely.
Yeah, yeah, him too.
So they've got a lot. Yeah, I see Kalkbrenner right there on the roster. They've got a very interesting roster. What did Brandon Miller end up getting hurt with last year? Was it ankle?
Wrist, I think.
Yes.
I want to say it's a wrist or a hand or something like that.
Yeah, out for the remainder of torn scapular limit, ligament in his right wrist.
Wrist, yeah.
Underwent surgery and will not return this season. That was earlier in the year, in January. So you get Brandon Miller back from his wrist injury. You have him play with LaMelo and Colin Sexton. Like, you got a lot of young firepower. Liam McNeely.
East is wide open too. People tearing their Achilles left and right over there.
Who's wearing number 0 on this team?
It's LaMelo, actually. I think no, he's number
Miles
2.
Bridges.
He's number
2. Miles Bridges. Watch out, man. You need to change. You need to change to 00, sir.
But wouldn't that mean both Achilles could be torn?
No, maybe. Just change number 10.
Is that double bad luck? Yeah.
Just get Josh Green to give you number 10 and get away from that number altogether.
Wear 23. Might turn into Michael Jordan.
All right, so we'll just nail this down and move on from this topic. Will the Hornets be in the play-in next season?
Yes, I believe so. I see no reason why they couldn't be a solidified playoff team, top 6 team in the East next year.
They finished.
If you have a good free agency, I mean, why not?
They finished second to last in the East, so they got to climb over the over the 76ers, over the Nets, and over the Raptors, and over the Bulls to get into the play-in. They had 19 wins. The play-in number this past year was 39. We got to add 20 wins to our resume. You think we can do that?
I think we can get to 40 wins.
Ooh.
I think so. 40? Like I said, East wide open. If you can have a good free agency, if you can sign another center, get another solid guard, 3-and-D guy, like why not? Why not Charlotte?
Why not Charlotte? All right, so we'll be paying attention to you, Charlotte Hornets, just a little bit more this year. God, why you got to do that to me? Why you got to basketball gods? Why you got to do that to me? To have Alabama's two most prominent players. Sorry, Herb, I love you, but Alabama's two most prominent basketball players in the pros. Going to the Charlotte bleeping Hornets. Look at Herb's life. Herb, the Pelicans were only
20, he's on the trade block too.
21-60. Hey, there
get
you
him
go.
To Charlotte. Get him to Charlotte.
And I'll be all in on it. I will buy myself some Charlotte Hornets gear.
The defense will just skyrocket next year if they get him.
That's what they need to do. Absolutely.
The amount of charges that'll be taken will be unreal.
So it's not like they won that much more, the Pelicans. They won 2 more games last year. So all of our Alabama basketball players
tank mode too.
Kind of in bad positions right now just on their professional team, making a lot of money. And
Clowney's with the Nets. Ooh. Another bad team. Or were they probably the same thing? Probably like 19 and 60.
26 and 56 last year. They were two.
So not much better.
Yeah, they were two spaces over the Hornets. So there you go. A little interesting. Maybe you will pay attention to the Charlotte Hornets now that they've got Colin Sexton added to Brandon Miller. And last thing on the trade discussion, we'll go back to football here is. We'll go back to football here with the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very interesting to me because Minkah Fitzpatrick is headed back to
the 305.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Let me pull my official trade here. It was Jonnu Smith, and it was Jonnu Smith, and it was Minkah Fitzpatrick for a 2027 seventh round pick in exchange. The Miami Dolphins get back Minkah Fitzpatrick and a 2027 fifth round pick. So both those draft picks are 2 years in advance, not next year's draft picks, but the year after. Essentially, the Miami Dolphins are trading away premier corner and Jonnu Smith in exchange for premier safety.
That was such a weird trade. I feel like neither team got exceptionally better from that trade.
Yeah.
Maybe give Aaron Rodgers a new weapon, a new tight end, but Freiermuth's there, and Freiermuth's better than Jonnu Smith. Unless you want to run a two tight end system, go 12 personnel or whatever. George Pickens isn't there. You got DK Metcalf. Najee's gone. I don't see the Steelers. I don't see this getting them over the hump to be a playoff team. I think they're going to be right where they're at. Same thing for the Dolphins. I think they're a borderline playoff team. They might be fighting for that seventh spot, honestly, both of them. I could definitely see that. With the way the schedules are for both teams and Aaron Rodgers' uncertainty, I don't even think that dude's a great quarterback anymore.
No.
Very overrated.
Well, I can't really speak objectively about Aaron Rodgers because I just have deep-seated negative thoughts, deep-seated pains, and deep-seated...
Because he went undefeated against the Bears in his time in Green Bay.
He wasn't undefeated. That's not true.
One loss, two losses.
Yeah, no, we definitely the Bears definitely beat the Packers on Brett Favre night against on Thanksgiving. Golly, Aaron Rodgers throwing an interception to Tracy Porter. Yeah, I'll never forget that night. Not undefeated, but the record was horrible. The Bears' record was absolutely horrible against him, and it was always finding miraculous ways to break my heart. So I have nothing but negative things to say about Aaron Rodgers, despite him being a great quarterback.
He's a diva.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't really see that working out well for Pittsburgh at this point because I don't think he's committed to football.
Me either. I think it'll be a headache for Mike Tomlin and that coaching staff and Arthur Smith.
Oh, he's a pro. Sure. He's a pro at dealing with headaches.
Yeah, he is.
he knows exactly how to deal with a headache personality.
Dealing with George Pickens for 4 or 5 years.
Pickens, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. It just keeps going, man.
Big Ben was a good dude. I feel like Big Ben was a saving grace for him, personally.
Also had a few headaches off the field.
Yeah, that too. He did have a couple.
A couple headaches as well. Mike Tomlin.
He's not getting out of the doghouse anytime soon.
Super underrated head coach, Mike Tomlin. All right, so Minkah Fitzpatrick is back with the Miami Dolphins. If you burned your Minkah Fitzpatrick Dolphins jerseys, I feel bad for you if you
buried it. Go dig it up right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. They're in the back dig of your closet. You're ready. You're set and ready. So there you go. Two of Alabama's more prominent players in their respective professional leagues.
He did get traded to Pittsburgh, right? It went from Miami to Pittsburgh back to Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I thought.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's wild. All right, Hunter Brantley, why don't you take 2 seconds? We're at 43, and you said you wanted to save Jaheim Otis to the end. Let's give everybody a little Braves update here. Atlanta, MLB standings, because that's where we can start. MLB standings, you've got the Braves at 38-45, 10.5 games back from the Phillies at 49-35. You haven't made the All-Star break yet, All-Star break in 2 weeks, so really everything right now, look, this is amateur baseball hour for Joe, but if you are before the All-Star break, it doesn't really matter yet. So 10.5 games seems like nothing before the All-Star break. Why don't you put me in First Bank Stadium and see, and tell everybody how it's going to go in the second half of the year.
Second half of the year, I see the Braves making some solid moves at the deadline. I think they will get above 500 right before the trade deadline. I think we got 12 games left. Let's see, we're 7 games under 500. Let's go. 10-2 in this last 12. We got the Orioles, we got the Angels, we got the A's. All three of those winnable series. I mean, we could probably should sweep just about every one. But let's go 10-2 the remainder 12 games before the All-Star break. Let's get guys healthy. Let's get Chris Sale back. Let's get Michael Harris in AAA so we can learn how to hit again. Let's figure out what the heck's going on with Ozzy Albies. Let's figure out why Marcell Ozuna's hip is still hurt, even though he's been on the IL here and there. Let's get him healthy. Let's make a trade or two. Let's see if we can get a new shortstop. Let's see if we can get some bullpen help. And let's go forward. Let's make a run for October. Let's do it.
There we go. I think that it's going to be... Look, I know a lot of you guys are Braves fans, so I'll pull for your happiness. I always pull for my friends' happiness, and so, you know, let's go Braves.
It's greatly appreciated.
I'll do the tomahawk chop that first week of August when I'm at the game. I'll go, oh,
it'll be great to see if someone other than Ronald Acuna Jr. can hit the ball consistently, at least.
I'll get myself a T-shirt. Sometimes y'all see the Cubs T-shirt that I wear. That's only because I went to a Cubs game last year. I'm not following the Cubs. I'll get myself a Braves T-shirt, probably with that old school A on it. Look for something like that.
Yeah.
That same royal blue color. Love that. The old logos, the Hank Aaron logos. Ooh, yeah, sexy. So I'll look for some merch like that. And be wearing it on the show.
Or, you know, if worse comes to worse, we can just tank for Justin LeBron. We need a new second baseman anyway. Why not? Because you know how the draft works.
That'll be next
He's not draft eligible this year. And then we'll have to come back another year. See if we can get a top 10 pick. Hit the lottery. Kind of like the Hawks did. Like the Mavericks did this past year.
Like the Mavericks did.
Yeah, quote unquote. Most rigged thing in professional sports I've ever seen. It's like, hey, Nico, we're going to trade Luka to a bigger market in L.A. The fan base is going to hate you, and they're going to want to kill you, among other things. But we're going to let you win the lottery. You're going to get Cooper Flagg, and everything's going to be okay.
They should have just taken Kamal Mallowash.
They should have.
Number one overall.
That dude's a freak, man. I'd be scared to drive the lane on him. If I saw him standing down there under the goal, I'd probably just have to kick it back out.
So let's hit one more topic on a Monday. Before we do, though, we want to remind you, we are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios right here off McFarland Boulevard. Call Derek and his team at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance. He's upstairs right now waiting to take your call. He can get you an auto insurance quote very, very quickly, let you know how he can save you money, get you better coverage. Don't unmute your mic. That's from your computer. Yeah, you're good. I know.
I'm on mute. I'm like,
no, you're definitely not on mute. You're talking through a different microphone, right? Rather than your computer microphone. But yeah, you call Derek and his team at 205-758-3391 for all your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their game time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
All right, Hunter Brantley is definitely not on mute. You need to check him out at WVUA23. Check him out on the social media machines at HunterBrantley8. He's helping us today as Theo Fernandez was kicked out of here, fired for the day. We'll get Theo back on Monday after he serves his one-week suspension for talking too much thunder. But how we want to finish this is to decide where we land on these Jaheim Otis comments. Jaheim Otis, look, Pete Nakos does great work, and Pete Nakos once again got a great interview out of a player. Last week, he got a great interview out of Thomas Castellanos. Who the heck is he going to get a great interview out of next week?
I want to know how he gets all these guys to just spill the tea on their whole lore of college football. I don't like that coach. I'm not happy at this place. You know, I was tearing up the ACC last year, and me and Bill O'Brien, we butted heads. I hated that guy. But yeah, he's tore up ACC, even though I hated my coach.
He's giving all these guys truth serum.
Alabama's no good no more.
I don't know if this
Sorry to cut you off. Did he get the Diego Pavia quote about we're going to run the state of Tennessee, or is that busting with the boys?
It was busting with the boys.
It was busting with the boys. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. If he reported that and he did an interview with him separately and he said that, and then he went on Bussing with the Boys and said the same thing and doubled down on it or what?
I get how those guys get good content because they make their guests feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But Pete Nakos, he's got an art. He's got a way of finding out the juice in the dirt. And we'll let you decide, listener, if this is as juicy as I think. And somebody... One of my friends commented, this is mild. This isn't that spicy. The comment is from Jaheim Otis. I left Alabama because I came in with Coach Saban. I took it to heart. That was one of my biggest dreams, to play college football for Coach Saban and win a ring. The new staff wasn't for me. And once I found out that they didn't mess with me, I knew it was time to get up and get out of there. So... A friend of mine goes, this isn't that spicy. This is Taco Bell mild sauce. And I thought, yeah, you know, you're right. But we don't really get that much spiciness in college football in the media to me. And so when we get a little bit of spiciness, maybe my tongue reacts a little bit more. Biggest comment for me is new staff wasn't for me. Hunter Bradley, remind me, how long has Freddie Roach been employed at the University of Alabama? Doesn't matter what the exact number was. The question is, was Freddie Roach the defensive line coach under Coach Saban?
I believe he was.
And he's still the defensive line coach under Coach DeBoer, correct?
Yes.
So,
I feel like he's been there at least 3 or 4 years, maybe more.
I think he's on five or six. I think, without looking at it off the top of my head. I think he was there. I think he came in 19 or 20. Point being... The new staff didn't not mess with you. The new staff didn't think you weren't, you know, a good player. We will acknowledge that the scheme definitely changed. You went from a two-gap scheme where you're hitting the man in front of you, trying to man both the gaps, into kind of a one-gap scheme, and you're aggressively firing into whatever that one gap is.
Sounds the same as a 3-4.
Yeah, it's a bit different, of course.
Yeah,
and. Jaheim Otis, big old man, but look, Tim Keenan has been just fine. Tim Keenan has been really, really a quality player, and
James Smith was really good. Tim Smith,
yeah,
was good last year.
I'm just thinking more of the nose guys, yeah. Right? And yes, defensive ends as well. But you really have on the defensive line two different spots now. You've got the nose, and you got the defensive end. And Bandit is kind of a pseudo defensive lineman now, but it's also an outside linebacker, yeah. right? And so Jaheim Otis's positions would have been either nose or the defensive end, right? Where Tim Smith played last year and where James Smith is going to play this year. To me, I'm sorry, you just got beat out by these other guys. You just got beat out by these other players. And I'm sorry. Now, Hunter Brantley goes on while he aggregates this story from Pete Nakos, and he gives the Kalen DeBoer quote from last fall, the week that he entered the transfer portal. He said, the thing you have to understand, there's other elements to this. There's health issues. There's life issues. I love these guys. They work hard. And Jaheim's choices and things, there's reasons for that. He has notified and continued to be in communication with us here. We move forward with the guys that are here. Yada, yada, yada. You know, I don't want to put a finality in it, but I want what's best for all people, and Jaheim's one of them. So maybe it just wasn't a fit, but I don't necessarily think that it was about, oh, the new staff just doesn't mess with me. I think it was, do you want to play in this one-gap system? Do you want to, you know, make a little adjustment to your game? Do you want to grow a little bit in your game?
You want to be more versatile instead of just playing defensive tackle? Do you want to play coming off the edge? We can put you in different spots, move you around, put you in the best place to succeed. Now, I don't know how this went over. I could imagine Freddie Roach or Kane Womack being like, hey, Jaheim, we're going to stick you at Bandit today. And he going like, you're going to put me at what? You're going to play me where? Bandit. What is a bandit? You know, I'm a defensive tackle. I don't play off the ball. I don't play off the edge. I don't do any of that. I'm a defensive tackle through and through. And I think that could probably set him off a little bit and got him upset. And then to go on with that, add on with it, I don't think he had that productive of a year. I'm looking at it right here, 2024. He didn't really play in that many games, four games. He had one tackle, two total tackles, one solo. So he didn't really produce that much while he was here. I guess that it's a byproduct of not buying into the Kane Womack 4-2-5 system. And then honestly, I feel like that, to go along with that, to saying that, yeah, this coaching staff didn't mess with me. To your point, Freddie Roach has been there, and I'm sure that Freddie Roach had his back through all of this, and that he just, like you said, he doesn't want to improve. He doesn't want to work hard. And if you don't want to work hard and you don't want to be here, then don't be here. You can go play somewhere else. I'm sure Deion loves having you at Colorado. If you stick to football and, you know, do what he's telling you to do and be coachable, unlike how you were here at Alabama. But, I mean, I feel like that if you come here, that you can, honestly, you can fit in and you can be an NFL player someday and he can be really good. But obviously he didn't want to buy into the 4-3-5 Kane Womack system, and that's why he hit the road.
I can go on over to Colorado R-Lads. Wow, I didn't realize that. I'm going over to Colorado R-Lads and they're running a 3-4. Jaheim Otis right there, nose tackle. And his backup, his immediate backup, tell me if you remember this name, Anquan Barnes. Two Alabama guys, both playing nose tackle. To me, it's just, I didn't want to sit behind Tim Keenan another year. I'm stuck. This is what the position, there's really two true defensive line positions now. And I'm either sitting here behind Tim Keenan, or I'm competing with Tim Smith last year and competing with James Smith this year. And I'm just going to go find. And like, it's fine. Why don't you just say, yeah, easier path to playing time?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Nothing wrong with that.
So,
other than throwing the coaching staff under the bus, I thought it was weird that he transferred in October too. Didn't mention that. Didn't mention, I quit on the team.
Well, that part. I mean, with how freely you can transfer these days, I don't think there's any real reason why you quit on a team.
Yeah.
I never really.
I had to do it in the middle of the year in October.
And even if it was, I'm not healthy enough to play, I may as well transfer. It's fine. Just put your black shirt on, put your black jersey on, and go ride the bike while your teammates are practicing. Do the rehab here. I'm sure Jeff Allen would have been very, very accommodating to you.
Like he always is.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Like his main mission.
He'll work with you, I promise.
His main mission is to make the players healthy. I don't really love that. I don't really love that aspect. I think with how freely you can transfer, just wait till whatever December 20, December 15th, and go find your new spot. But Jaheim Otis, I wish you well. I wish you well. I just don't know if these comments are entirely accurate. Yeah. So let's rate them. Let's rate them 100. Really, 10 being the spiciest. 10 being much closer to Thomas Castellanos. I think Castellanos was probably at an 8 last week.
I think this is at a 6.
6?
6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it is Taco Bell mild.
I mean, he did just throw the new coaching staff under the bus, basically. He didn't really take accountability for why he had to transfer or anything like that.
They didn't mess with me.
They didn't like me. I didn't get to play, so I left.
Well, all right. We'll keep moving right here on the Joe Gaither Show. Hunter Brantley, it's been a pleasure. Why don't I'll give you, if you have any other topics you want to bring up, I don't want to cut you off, or if you have any thoughts for the people, or if you just want to promote yourself, I'll let you lead us the last couple minutes here as we get out of here on a Monday.
Follow me on Twitter at HunterBrantley8. I enjoyed it. I enjoy getting into all these topics. I don't think I have anything else. I did see something that was really interesting. I saw somebody wrote a piece about the 12 quarterbacks that Alabama's going to play this year and ranked them 1 through 12. And I saw Diego Pavi at 3, ahead of John Mateer and Jackson Arnold, which I thought was interesting, to be honest with you. Where would you rank Diego Pavi out of the 12 quarterbacks we play this year? I think Lenoris and Garrett are 1 and 2 interchangeable. I would have Mateer at 3.
I don't know how much I'm loving John Mateer. I did the early opponent preview last night for Oklahoma. Don't know if I'm loving him as much as you are. I think, Lenoris, yes, 1.
Garrett, 2.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that as well.
You got Aguilar.
No, Pavi's better than him. Pavi's better than him.
Jackson Arnold.
Pavi is
better
than about him. The same, probably better. Yeah. So I guess you probably are battling with John Mateer for 3 and 4. Yeah. I don't know.
Watch total Mateer just because he played at Washington State.
But yeah, look who they played last year. Bunch of bums.
Yeah.
Bunch of Pac-2.
The whole Pac-2.
And playing against Hawaii and all that, you know.
Hawaii and San Jose State.
Right. I don't care
Oregon
about it.
State.
Yeah, you tore it up out there. Great. Let's see.
But now you're about to play real football.
Real football in a real league. Schedule. Exactly. And with an offensive line that's full of transfers, with a wide receiver crew that's full of transfers. And, I mean, Jade Knott was nice at Cal last year. He was nice.
Really good,
I really like him. But, like, the entire offense looks like transfer portal U. And is that going to be, you know, there's just too many question marks with that. The defense for Oklahoma looks good, but, and yes, he is staying with his offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, coming over from Washington State. So, like, you do have continuity there, but it's just so many moving parts. It's so many, like, to me, if the offensive line is just like it was last year, then he's upper creek without a paddle. Like, their offensive line was horrible last year. Their offensive line was horrible, and they had almost every wide receiver, Oklahoma, almost every wide receiver hurt throughout the year.
He was throwing to walk-ons last year, Arnold was.
Exactly. And so, like, you get a little
fourth or fifth string running back.
Grace, yeah. You get a little grace there. And the running back that tore Alabama up in that game was a freshman, so he's going to be good. He's going to be back, and he's probably – but I just think Oklahoma has a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. If those transfers can get together and gel nicely, okay. You're playing a transfer from Western Carolina at left tackle. You're playing a transfer from Stanford at center. Your only real returning offensive lineman is your left guard. And, you know, I think Mateer may be nice. He may be nice with it, but it's about the whole picture. And it concerns me.
Do you think Pavia can do the same thing he did last year?
No, not on the same
level. I don't think it'll be same production level. I think it'll be good.
He's going to have to be better. He's going to have to be even better, even more. He's going to have to be even more. Like, it's going to be so hard to be that efficient again. And that's really where Pavia excelled, in efficiency. They weren't throwing the ball that much, but every time they did throw the ball, it was, here's 7 yards, here's 12 yards. It's a completion. The chains are moving. I think it's going to be really challenging for him to be that efficient again this year. I think I might go with Jackson Arnold third. I think I might. Barely.
Jackson Arnold third.
Pavia four and Mateer five. Because, I mean.
Castellanos.
No.
Six, seven, or eight. Hey, he tore the ACC up last year, he said.
I like Aguilar. I like the Tennessee quarterback more than Castellanos.
Yeah, that's fair. Because he got benched last year.
Yeah.
But he's going to be with Malzahn this year, so that's going to be different for him.
Totally different. That's going to be a change of pace. You're right.
It'll help him out a lot.
And maybe I'm just biased and jaded from the comments last week. I think it's going to come back and bite him in the rear end real hard.
I think it will too.
Hoy, what are we at today? What are we at? We're at 60-something days away from... Oh, yeah, there you go. Let me remute your mic. We're at Bama Central. We're at how many days away?
60-something.
We're in the 60s. We have 61. Today is 61. So really, two straight months we'll be in football. SEC
it's so
media
close, but
yet
so far.
SEC media days in 2 weeks. That's something we got to do on the show, is kind of make our SEC media days ballot before we go to Atlanta.
Preseason ballot, first team, second team.
We're going to have Ryle Kelly join us tomorrow morning, Alabama safety, 8:45. So we're going to be doing that. We're also going to be promoting New Era Wrestling. Hunter, I'm going to be doing the ring announcing up at the
MC,
doing the ring announcing up at the next New Era Wrestling event. You should come join us. I think I've convinced Theo to come on and watch it. I'll be, and now da, 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 New Era Wrestling, welcome, doing all that jazz. So that's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, July 12th. It's going to be the Star Spangled Bash in Jasper, Alabama. You're going to be able to see me. You're going to be able to boo me if you'd like to. If you're welcome to. Or if you're a fan, you can cheer me. We'll love that as well.
I'll probably cheer.
We're hoping to have a lot of Joe Gaither Show listeners in the crowd The alpha Alexander Lincoln is going to be taking on the irredeemable Aiden Andrews for the open weight championship. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to have the modern day kings and the draw. We're going to have the modern day kings and the draw going up against each other in a Survivor Series style match. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, July 12th. So it's going to be fun on the show. We appreciate everybody who's watched us, who's listened to us on your favorite podcast platforms. Go download every show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. Put us over the number. Make June number one all time. If June's number one, what do you think August, September, October, when we're going to be talking real football, is going to be looking like? I appreciate you guys so much for downloading the show.
Off.
Exactly. For being a part of the show and downloading it. I appreciate Hunter Brantley for being here. Find him at HunterBrantley8 on the social media machines as we keep going with it with the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.